We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to Michael Steele podcast. I'm having a lot of fun with my buddy astronaut Terry Virts. He's the author of The Astronaut's Guide to Leaving the Planet. It's a great book for young minds to sort of begin the idea of science and the work that Terry has been engaged in for most of his adult life, and it's a nice read for you to pick up. Terry, I wanted before we went to break, I sort of made a side reference to the Grays, but before I get to the Grays, I want to get to the Gray Men that are kind of becoming the backbone of the space industry now, particularly when you talk about Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. Space exploration is for me, I'm trying to figure out how I sum up my attitude about it. Very protective, I think. There have been a lot of movies which I think are prescient about what happens when private enterprise and business take over space, and the profit motive becomes the be all and the end all, because we've seen what the profit motive does here on the planet. And I'm not against the profit motive, but everything has got to be put in the right context. And there have to be very bright lines drawn ethically, morally, et cetera. And sometimes those lines are blurred. You've got Virgin Galactic, for example, launching its first space tourism flight, pricing at $450,000 a ticket. What are your thoughts on orbital space tourism and the role that the Elon Musks and Jeff Bezos will play and the impact they could have on space travel?
That's a great question. By the way, what movies are you thinking about? I immediately thought of Alien.
There's Alien.
They bring back the alien for money because they don't want to, like,
right. Yeah. I mean, that was a dangerous one there, because you're bringing something back that can kill people.
Yeah, you don't want those things loose on Earth. I don't.
You don't want those things loose on Earth. But you know, there's
Avatar.
Arnold Schwarzenegger did with Terminator. Yeah. You have a number of these.
Absolutely.
What was the one with the cop that was bio?
RoboCop.
The big corporation just bioengineered this poor man and turned him into something.
Yeah. Well, you know, with Bezos and Elon Musk and others, I was hearing Jeff Bezos speak one time, and he used an interesting phrase. He said, "I won the Amazon lottery." And to a certain extent, he did. I mean, clearly he's a smart businessman. You know, he worked hard. He had a great idea, but he won the lottery. And he's exploring space with that. And, you know, if you have all these billions of dollars, you could go buy yachts and islands. And he's probably done that too. But he's using a lot of that money to buy, build rockets. And the U.S. government is going to use his New Glenn to launch. And so it's actually, you know, useful, I think. They're employing thousands or tens of thousands of engineers and scientists. And it's a little off-putting to see how much money people pay. The Virgin Galactic and Bezos, the suborbital space tourists, they go up for a few minutes of weightlessness. Those Virgin's charging $500,000. Bezos is charging $1 million. That's whatever. It's, you go up a couple minutes, that's fine. If you want to go to the space station on an orbital flight, it's $55 million. And so there are actually billionaires buying seats to the space station. Beyond that, there are governments buying those seats. And so, and I call it space washing. Sometimes these governments are...
Yeah, but the governments are buying those seats. Are they putting astronauts on in those seats, or are they putting, you know, some kid whose daddy wants him to go to get a space experience?
That was Bezos. Yeah. So, you know, the government of Turkey did this. The government of is Hungary is in talks. Saudi did it. UAE did it. So a lot of the governments buying these tickets are like, I think Sweden just had an astronaut. Italy just had one. The UK is going to. So that can be a good thing. In some cases, they're not necessarily thriving democracies that are doing this, but, you know, it's a way to make money and it funnels money back into the system. So at the end of the day, if the money is being spent, it's, you know, hopefully bringing down costs, providing employment in the industry, and hopefully doing other innovations. But if you have a company like SpaceX, for example, and they're launching their Starlink satellites, there's a real concern with space debris. And they're just putting up thousands, and they want to put up tens of thousands of these satellites. Airbus is doing it also from Europe. China also wants to do it. Bezos also has his network. This is a lot of space debris.
That's and right now there's a lot of junk in space.
It's the biggest problem that we face that no one talks about. It's like the biggest unspoken problem that we
and
have.
And that
right
stuff
now.
Over time loses its orbit. I mean, they will come. Yeah. Doesn't stay up forever. Well,
no, and if it come, if it decays and it burns up in the atmosphere, that's fine. If it, you know, as long as it's in reasonable numbers, but. If you launch them like at 1,000 miles or thousands of miles, they'll stay there for centuries or maybe forever. Right. So if they're down at a couple hundred miles, they'll burn up within a few years. But if they're higher than a few hundred miles, it really becomes a problem. So the space debris thing, and there's no governing body. It's not like the United Nations has control over this. Like when you get on an airplane and you fly to Paris or Tokyo, the ICAO, the International Civil Aviation Organization, controls that. There's nothing like that for space debris. And I don't foresee that anytime soon. The US, Russia, and China are not going to agree on this. And that's unfortunate, but it really leads to a big problem of space debris.
That's just crazy. I still, like I said, my admonition about turning this over, our space programs and so forth, over to the private sector, the private market, to me is still very problematic, because I just don't trust them. I damn sure don't trust right. Elon Musk. So he's told me enough about him that I wouldn't want him running anything that the rest of us have to rely on. And I give you X as an example. So it just really for me is something. I get the cash-strapped agencies, and everybody's talking about, well, if Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and Pootie Tang want to put up, you know, all this money, great. That's less money that our government has to spend. Well, you know what? I'm out of the John F. Kennedy school. I think it belongs rightly at our table exclusively, and not so much giving it away, but I get it. I do get it in the main. To your last point, I just wish people were just paying attention to all of the various pieces of it that will one day come back and either land on our head or bite us in the behind.
To your point about Elon, he's an amazing businessman. He's created incredible companies and really innovated, but he also just basically said we shouldn't be supporting Ukraine. And so one of the biggest defense contractors, who gets billions of dollars from the Defense Department, just said our defense policy sucks. I mean, can you imagine the Boeing CEO saying that, or the Northrop Grumman CEO saying that, or whatever? And they're so powerful. I don't think we can understand. They're the wealthiest men in history. You know, the five big tech companies, SpaceX, Apple, Bezos. There's just a handful of these trillionaires, and they're unelected, unaccountable. They have boards of directors that they all handpicked, and they're all tech bros, and the board is just eager to do anything they say. So unaccounted, unchecked power, it doesn't work out well for guys like Vladimir Putin or President Xi, and I don't think it works out well in the business community either.
Yeah. So let's move on to something a lot less scary. And that would be extraterrestrials.
Aliens. I was going to say aliens.
Yes. Yay. We're at the fun part of the program. Are there aliens? Are we hiding any of them? Do we know where they are? I bet they're in the ocean. Okay, let's go.
I could talk forever about this. So what I'll say is everybody talks about Area 51, but Area 52 is the one you really want to know about.
That's what you want to know. Thank you.
So I got a few thoughts about aliens. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and it struck me that, you know, if aliens wanted to kill us, they would have already killed us.
Yes.
Right. And if you were an alien society that was so aggressive that you had to fly across the galaxy just to kill people on some planet, you wouldn't exist, because you would have nuked yourself to death. Right. Like, societies that are that aggressive would cease to exist eventually, because they would just consume themselves and kill themselves.
Right.
So I think if we ever meet aliens, honestly, I think it's going to be Mr. Rogers. They're going to be, you know, enlightened aliens, because if they were like the aggressive kind, they would never make it across the galaxy.
But that's not to say there aren't some aggressive ones out there.
Yeah, but
we're aggressive on this planet. I mean, you know.
But we haven't made it out into the solar system.
But I mean, you could imagine. Okay, so take the current makeup of mankind, right?
Yeah.
And then we have the technology to hit a wormhole and get to another part of the galaxy, right?
Right.
What do you think we're going to do when we get there?
Like my story from Papua New Guinea, our technology has been amazing, but human nature is still human nature.
That's it.
People are selfish, you know, they want what they don't have. In Star Trek, it was like this enlightened society and everybody was perfect and whatever. We're not to that Star Trek level of enlightenment yet. And I don't know that we ever will, you know. Human nature is human nature. And so that's why I'm a big fan of democracy, because you can build the checks and balances to keep that human nature in control. And even if you have a guy that really wants something, the system doesn't let him get it, because it, right. You know, we have balances. So that just struck me, that aliens, you know, would probably not be the aggressive type, because they wouldn't last long enough to come this far.
But have they been here? And did they build the pyramids?
I was going to say, man, I'm going to show you a picture. It took me 199 days to get a picture of the pyramids. I waited and waited and waited. And on my, I, just,
like
I was in space
around
for 200
you're
days.
Like, I leave on the 200th day. I got to get this photo.
Literally, it was the day before I left. And I got this picture of the pyramids and I was so proud. So for those of you listening,
oh man, look at that. And folks who are listening to this, you got to come over to the YouTube channel and check this out. It's worth it. Look at that.
It was pretty cool. So, you know, I don't know. These videos that these Navy fighter pilots had are amazing. You know, that stuff.
Yeah, they got the thing covered.
Airplanes don't do that stuff.
Right. I mean, is that something maybe our government has technology that they're testing, developing, and that, you know, we don't know about today? It's like the... what was that? The one, the bomber,
the B-2 bomber,
the B-2 bomber that, you know, folks, and it was, you know, stealth technology and nobody knew. And then all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. You know?
Yeah.
Hey everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
Facepalm America is a show for progressives and others on the left who want to keep up with the ridiculousness that this country dishes out, find out what cable news misses when they're waiting for Trump to appear at a podium, and also, every once in a while, get a laugh at how silly this hot mess of a nation of ours really is. If that's you, listen to Facepalm America. You can go to facepalmamerica.com or find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.